Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 19th, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 79, paragraph 3, starting with, "We thought he ought to be willing." Today's readers are Don M., 12 Steps, Jody EQ, 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Sherry M., Judy MC, and Elizabeth T. Mary B. is our newcomer greeter, and Sherry E. will be due announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 18th, 2021, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17,585. That's 17585. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern meeting is 17,593. That's 17593. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Don M. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. This is Don M. from Connecticut. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service today.
Thank you, Don M. I will now ask Jody E. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Jody. Star 1, Jody. Elizabeth, do you have those keyed up?
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is Elizabeth. I didn't know that. This is new, everybody. Sorry. I didn't.
No worries.
I can certainly get the 12 traditions. My apologies. I 12 traditions are the following. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purposes, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. Tradition 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 79, third paragraph, we thought he ought to be willing. I will now ask Sherry M. to begin reading.
We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary, but if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. We suggested he write his first wife admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. He did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course she did not, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted. Thank you so much. My name's Sherry M. I'm gratefully recovered in California. What I have underlined here, what's really standing out to me is, you know, that I ought to be willing to do that if necessary. I like to put it in first person. I love referring back to the page before. It says in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. I have 17 and a half years of doing this process, of working these steps, and being among fellows who have made amends in different programs, and I have yet to hear of somebody following the dictates of the Big Book being willing to go to any length and not having it turn out better than they would have expected. So yes, is this a scary proposition to say? Yes, I could. I'll go to jail if needed. Absolutely. But what I have found is that God does not make too hard of terms with me as long as I'm willing. So when I say, God, here, take all of me and just do with me what you will, I'm willing to humble myself. I'm willing to pay the consequences of whatever that is for my actions. I find that God's terms and what ends up happening is so much better than I could have ever imagined. Is this a scary proposition? Absolutely. Have I ever made one amends? You know, I've had financial amends. I've faced my abuser amends. I've made amends to my family. I've made amends to employers. Most recently, I made amends to somebody at a gas station that I was, rude with, drivers on the road. Whatever it is, what has happened to me by facing myself and basically saying, like, this was not this, I was acting like a jerk, and that's not who I want to be. Very sorry that I caused you any distress. You know, I'm going to try to be better, and I'm going to be a better driver in the future with God's help, or whatever it is. What happens to me is that I, all of a sudden, I'm humbled with God, and it brings me to tears. You know, when I'm operating in the world, wanting to get what's mine and what I think is due me, and, you know, pushing everyone out, it never feels good. But when I do the opposite of just saying, here, getting on my knees, you know, reminding myself what I have written on this page is self-searching, leveling of pride, confession of shortcomings, basically the death of Sherry, the death of ego, the death of self. These are the requirements for me to be part of the recovery process. I can be part of the fellowship and not do the steps, but I wouldn't be part of the freedom that I get by doing this work. I have said that I would go to any length. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order to be free. Freedom is not free. And was it hard to put down the food? Absolutely. Did that feel good? No way. Was it hard for me to do a fifth step? Yes. Everything has been uncomfortable. It's not supposed to feel comfortable, but I can assure you from my own experience and from experience of countless others, there are beautiful stories of transformations that happen by, and I'll wrap it up, by doing this work and being willing to do whatever is necessary, putting the results in God's hands, and the promises can all come true. Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear from all of you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry. Great share, great getting us started. We will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you keep your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share? Star one to unmute.
This is Christy. I can share.
Sorry, Christy?
Yep.
Christy, what's your last initial?
What's that?
What's your last initial?
M.
M? Okay. We'll get you to, I'm just going to leave the line open for a bit for others to say their names, and then we'll get you up first.
Okay.
Georgie.
Georgie.
Marie S.
Marie S. Anyone else? All right. Well, we won't waste any more time waiting. Christy, I have Christy M., George E., and Mary S. So good morning, Christy M.
Good morning. Yep, thank you for your service, and thank you for the reading. This reading is especially, I guess, meaningful for me right now. I'm working through the eighth and ninth steps, and something that I've learned about this program is I can get really comfortable in some of the, like, not the steps per se, but like the checklists of the food plans and the going to meetings and checking those things off my list, when really, you know, this is a spiritual program. I have a 24-hour, and you know, my abstinence is tied to me being able to work the steps in my life. And, you know, making amends and taking care of my side of the street is hard. It's really humbling. I think when I came into this program, I felt like a victim. I often didn't see my side of the street, right? I thought, you know, if I was unhappy, if I was resentful, you know, it was because of somebody else and it was something they were doing. And if they would just stop, you know, I wouldn't feel this way. And so I felt very victimized. I felt very powerless. And I felt very like tossed around like the waves, like just by what other people were doing and saying, and my emotions and my actions were just like in reaction to what other people were thinking and doing and saying. So it just felt like I was just always being thrown around. And while starting to go through the steps has really forced me to look at my side of the street and my role. And something my sponsor always tells me is like, you always have choices. No matter what the situation is, you always have a choice. And what I've seen is no matter what somebody else's behavior is, I always have a part and I always have a choice. And going through this process has helped me to look at my side of the street, you know, why am I in this situation? Why am I reacting the way I am? And what choices do I have? What are my choices? You know, whether it's setting a boundary, whether it's leaving a situation, you know, I always have choices. So in one sense, it was very humbling and difficult to really examine my part and my role and my side of the street. I didn't really want to at first. It was, but on the other hand, it's very freeing. It's very empowering because when I have choices, when it's not all somebody else's fault, if it's somebody else's fault, they have all the power in the situation. And when I take responsibility for my part, it gives me power, it gives me agency, and it means there's something I can do. And oftentimes, you know, I hear about the serenity prayer, you know, God help me about things I can't control, which is other people, and the things I can, which is me. That's what I have. Thank you. I'll wrap up. So it's just a reminder to me hearing this that, you know, what I always have control over is myself. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy. All right, Georgie, please share with us.
This is Georgie in Ohio, compulsive eater. I really appreciate this part of the book. I always felt I fell short on my eighth step. I've come to believe that it's about willingness. You know, we have our list in hand, and are we willing to move forward? At times I've made lists in the past. Usually I had the amends confused with making the list. And so for me, the real work was to be thorough and not be thinking about what the amends was going to look like. You know, I'm at this point. However, you know, the reading tells me I have to think about harm. And in a practical way, what is harm? You know, it's false expectations, it's all that kind of stuff. And so I probably need some more honesty, and I definitely need more willingness to see my side, my part. I played the victim way too often. But a more fundamental character flaw was never being able to ask for help. Or when I could ask for help, expecting it to look a certain way. So not sure how long I've talked, but thanks for letting me share today, and hope everybody has a blessed day.
Okay. Thank you so much, George E. All right. Before I ask Mary S. to share, we'll open the lines after her, and we'll be sharing on page 79, third paragraph, we thought we ought to be willing. So if you want to share on that, get ready, and after Mary S., we'll take more names. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, good morning. This is Marie S. from New York City. And I'm happy to share this morning and thank you everyone for their service. I just returned from a 1 month stay with my son and his wife in Portland, Oregon. And while there, my character flaws just were rearing their ugly heads all over the place. I've been working 6 and 7 with my sponsor, and it just finally occurred to me as I returned home and I started talking to my sponsor this morning. It occurs to me, and it reminds me that my abstinence, my food program, is not separate from my spiritual recovery, and that's it. While I was there and I saw all my character defects, I started to think they were separate, and it was a struggle, honestly. But I feel grounded after reading this and speaking with my sponsor this morning. I feel grounded in the fact that this is not a, you know, work the 12 steps, one stop shop, and you're done and you're recovered. My commitment to going to any length is for the rest of my life. And as I think about that, I slow down and realize that writing every day, having a relationship with my higher power, having really to work the program every single day of my life is crucial to my recovery. And I'm happy to be able to say this. And the situation that I am in is very helpful because I have my higher power walking alongside me, working through this, and writing and praying and meditating is really the principal key component of my life at this point in time. So with that, I'll pass. I just appreciate that I could share about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary S. or Marie S. Okay, so we're going to open up the lines for further shares. Who would like to share? We're on page 79, third paragraph.
Elizabeth T.
Elizabeth T.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Liz S.
Liz S. Anyone else? All right. So I have Elizabeth T, Jordan L, and Liz S. Go ahead, Elizabeth T. Good morning.
Hi, this is Elizabeth T from Minneapolis. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I appreciate everybody's shares. And you know, what I really like about this particular paragraph is just that we thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. So, you know, I really appreciated some of the people's shares around willing to go to any lengths. And it's just this notion of willingness. And there are times that I may not have the willingness, but at this point in the game, in my ninth step, I'm in a position where I know where to go get willingness. I know who the source is of all power. I know, you know, if I'm not able, you know, some people share it and I can understand, you know, if I'm not able to see where I've harmed somebody, I pray. I'm really needing to pray. In that fourth step, we talk about who did we resent, how did it affect us. We talk about praying for those people or institutions or principles. And I've had it happen where I just don't really see anything. I'm willing to pray, even lip service. I'm willing to do lip service. And the miracle happens in that, yep, I'm willing to pray. And all of a sudden,
for some reason, the denial lifts or the prayer is answered and I can see where I've harmed that person. Or maybe I've robbed them of their emotional security, or I've robbed them of their financial security, or I've humiliated them, or I've punished them. And I start to see how I'm not treating them as people and as God's, you know, God's children. I see how I'm just going to, you know, plow through things or elbow my way through. So this, that first sentence of this paragraph is so important, and it continues to drive home that not only if I'm not willing, like, okay, maybe, you know, I've got my list of people that I need to make amends to, and I know they're on my list for a reason, I have harmed them, but maybe I don't know, I still, this is a process, I get to bring God into it, even like, I don't need to figure this out, you know, I'm able, I pray to illuminate my mind and to take away, you know, the denial so that I can see who I am in my addiction, and that my willingness or my heart is in the spot, the right spot, which is I'm willing to do God's will. I'm willing to have him illuminate my mind and let me see where I've harmed or where maybe I have been selfish or dishonest or self-seeking or inconsiderate, where my pride has, you know, been there, where my, you know, where my greed, where my envy has really played a part. And I get to start to see that and clear away the wreckage. So that willingness is key. And if it's not there, it's okay. We go to our source. We go to our source of power, and we will get, and I get, my experience is I get the help. With that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Elizabeth T. Jordan L., I have you up next.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you all this morning. Willingness. The part of this that jumps out to me is admitting our faults and asking forgiveness. This is sort of the amends process is like, it's a lesson in humility, right? And when I first get abstinent, I don't have like a great relationship with humility. When I first get abstinent, the idea of humility that I have is humiliation, which I've experienced a lot of, especially as a compulsive overeater, because I wear my disease on me. I wear it around with me. I carried around an extra 100 pounds of weight with me for years and years and years. When I get to that third step, and we start talking about a decision to stop playing God, to stop being the director. God is now the employer, and we're the agents, and we take on a new role, if you will. The amends process, this is like, in the third step, I'm just making a decision. So the amends is like where I actually start to back that up, that decision. And I actually start to play a different role, you know? And I think admitting my faults and asking forgiveness, it's how I start to understand what it is, for me, what it was that I was doing to other people. I became a director and a dominator and the employer, if you will, because of out of a place that I was trying to care and protect for myself, right? And if I am going to continue to live in this new spiritual way, and I'm going to continue to live a different role as not the director and the dominator or the employer or whatever director substitute word you want to enter in there, the decider, whatever it is, I have to learn to admit my faults and ask for forgiveness. and look at it, almost put myself at the mercy of someone else. There were a lot of times, I'll wrap up, there were a lot of times where others were at my mercy, and I took advantage of that, you know? So I learned a different, I'm learning my new role, if you will. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. All right, before we take our next sharer, I'm just going to tell everyone where we're at because we do have some more time. We're on page 79, third paragraph. We thought he ought to be willing, and we're sharing on that one paragraph. So be ready. And Liz S., go ahead. Share with us.
Donna W.
Oh, I'm not taking new names yet, but I'd have you, Donna. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi, Liz S. from New Hampshire. I'm so grateful for the shares and especially what I just heard, because I've been the director and I've been in charge and I've been an employer all my life, especially being one of eight children. What I particularly came away from the fourth and fifth step was, the third step as well, but the fourth and fifth step as well, because that showed me that I'm not any of those things. And now I have that in my daily living when that part of me emerges and I decide to, you know, direct traffic. And it really is a blessing, because it comes as though, I feel it, it's visceral. And I'm much more aware of my defects and I'm much more able to correct them, to also be aware of when I have hurt someone else with them. The immense process to me has been nothing less than remarkable and quite wonderful. I had to make amends to a grocery store in New York where I used to live, and I couldn't reach them. So I had to be somewhat creative, and what I did was I made 40 baby hats for the maternity ward here at the hospital. Delivered them, and I said, I didn't take it. I said, a friend of mine wanted you to have these, and they wanted to send a thank you card. I said, well, she wanted to be anonymous. So it was a way to do something completely honestly, but to give back, but not take any credit. So I have found ways that there really are possibilities that can give back financially, but not say, you know, my name or in any way. And I had to make to my parents who are both deceased, and I can do the same. And it's, it's just that way of, making the amend and doing it, and in a way being very grateful that I can do it. But also on a daily basis, when I screw up and when I make a mistake, to correct it on the spot. And not to feel shame or guilt, but to be grateful, because I spent so many years not, I'm just knocking people in the mind. And I don't do that anymore. So this was a very powerful, powerful paragraph to me about forgiveness and also remembering God is in charge. My job has been taken away from me. I'm grateful because it was a great friend on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that all right? So now we'll open up the lines for further share. Donna W., I do have you. So we can take probably about two more after Donna. So who would like to share?
Lynn D., California.
Ren D.
Sherry H.M., Washington.
Sherry H.M. All right. Was that Lindy that? I'm going to go with that.
Yes, Lindy. Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll go with Donna W. Share with us.
Oh, thanks so much. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. grateful for my abstinence and my recovery for today. And I just wanted to share that reading this about step nine has triggered for me, reminded me that, there was this financial, outstanding financial amend I need to make from the 1990s. I had borrowed some money from, I had delayed payment for a place I was studying. And I paid back some of it. I don't think I paid back all of it. I couldn't really remember. So I just checked in with my higher power. I wrote, and my higher power suggested an amount. And they're in England. I was living in England then. So I emailed them and just said, hey, I'd like to make a donation. So, I realized there was this thing. It was like just listening to everyone's shares. It's like there was this pit in my stomach going, I still have that. So I'm grateful that, I get to keep making amends, even from, 30 years ago. So I'm grateful for that. And then I'm also grateful I heard today, like, no matter what, we always have a choice. I've been going through a lot of health issues for the last year and a half, COVID related, and been really feeling like a victim, It's just been hard because whatever I've done in the past doesn't seem to work. I've been really having a really hard time. So I do have choices, and I get to, I may not get to choose how I feel today, but I get to, physically, but I get to choose how I want to, relate to it. And I can be grateful for what I do have. And I have a mantra that sometimes works for me, that this is the way things are right now, and I have a lot of wishing I was this person that I was back in March 2020, but I can only go forward, and I can only do that with your and my higher power's help. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna W. All right, Lynn D. Share with us, please.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, everybody, on Vision. And I just wanted to say, also, I'm so grateful for everybody's honesty and stories. The stories always stick with me. I can remember stories easier than I can remember like quotes and stuff. So I just wanted to say, appreciate everybody's honesty and stories. Willingness is kind of the theme for this morning. So when I did my first round of amends, I was 19. I was working downtown at a department store. I don't think I said I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. I was working downtown. And there was a grocery store right across the street. And so I would go and I would pay for my lunch, like the good girl does, right? But then there was these, barrels or, containers of candy. And so, and I would just pocket a few. Well, I had worked there for over 4 years. So popping a few candies over 4 years, it was insane because I think in my mind, I justified it as, it didn't have a UPC, right? Like I was a retail girl. Like I could take that. No big deal. It's just a couple, right? And don't you know I'm paying for my salad, so I deserve it. It's not insane thinking going on there. So I remember when I was doing my amends, my sponsor said, all right, well, you have to go and, make your amends. And we rehearsed it over and over and over again. And I was so scared. So scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. My first time around making amends, didn't have much experience with it. And then, so I go there with my checkbook. And I remember my sponsor just saying, just be willing, whatever it takes, you want to recover, you want to be free. And so I just kept that with me, took it to the manager of the grocery store and, said my amends, and he kind of didn't really know what to do. I think he might have been new looking back. And he said, hold on a minute. And back then I wasn't good with pauses. Now during pauses, I can pray and I can talk to God. But that pause seemed like it was 5 years. And he came back and he handed me this flyer and he said, we just signed up for all these beach cleanups. Please join us. And I was out with my checkbook, like, and my mouth just dropped, like, you don't want me to pay you thousands of dollars? What? Like, you know, I just wasn't even expecting that. And so I went to those beach cleanups with gusto and I made my amends. And that was probably the one that was the hardest, but the most beneficial for my recovery. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. All right, Sherry, H.M.
Good morning. This is Sherry, H.M. from Washington State, and I'm so grateful. On August 17th, I hit 7 years of abstinence recovery, and I'm so grateful to God, and I'm so grateful for all of you wonderful people out there. And I'm grateful for... There's a speaker I listened to from, he's a Vision member, kept off, like, I don't know, 500 pounds for 21 or something years. And he was saying, use steps 9, 10, and 11 together so you don't drown in shame. And I just love that because that's how I can, you know, keep my heart sanitized, so to speak, because I spent so much time sanitizing my hands, you know, last year and actually this year too. But it's really my heart what's eating at me when I want to go to the refrigerator. So I have to remember do those together. And if I don't do that, it's like wearing a dirty diaper. And who wants to do that, right? So then drowning in shame, leading me back to the food. So I'm so grateful for all of you people. And thank you so much for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. Probably have time for one more at least. If anyone would like to share on, we're on page 79, third paragraph, we thought he ought to be willing. Does anyone have a burning desire to share with us?
Deb E.
Gabby. Okay, we'll go with that. Go ahead, Gabby, share with us.
Hi, it's actually Deb E.
Oh, Deb.
Calling in from Israel. yeah, I just will share very quickly the part that really caught my attention today was just those first few words. We thought he ought to be willing. Just made me think of how we talk about going to any length. And like what I'm willing to do. And I feel like my willingness has increased a lot over the years. In the beginning, I used to have to pray to be willing to be willing. I'd pray for the willingness to be willing. You know, there are so many things I wasn't willing to do back then that I am willing to do today. And this step scared me a lot in the beginning. I'm still not, like, it really motivates me to take care of situations as they come. With 10 steps and not like let things accumulate, but I always end up having stuff for my 9th step anyways, but I really don't want to have to make amends. I'd rather, you know, kind of get it right the first time, but being a human being, that doesn't always work. And, but just this part about being willing, like he was willing to go to jail if that's what it took, you know, just made me think of what I've been willing to do to set things right, how I've been willing to live, to be in a state of recovery day after day. And it's really, it's stuff, I don't think I ever thought I would get to a place of willingness that I'm at today, you know, in the beginning. I think it just seemed really unattainable and like too much of a stretch. And really none of, I can't think of any amends that I made that was as bad as I thought it would be. You know, it was really the anticipation and the fear around what might happen. And they pretty much all ended up being just not as bad. So that willingness is a good reminder for me to, the willingness takes so much courage and faith. And then I feel like I usually get like the gift of, okay, this I see that I, you know, with my higher power's help and fellowship, I was able to handle whatever it was. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. All right. You know, I'm going to actually hop in here and share on this paragraph. I'm Brandy, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph, to me, you know, that willingness to go to any lengths, to go to jail, to do whatever I needed to do. I was living in jail. I was already living in jail, in the food and, you know, desperate and dying. And so, you know, I was pretty willing when I got to this step to do whatever it took this time. You know, my last relapse, you know, was nothing. It was horrible, horrible. And so when I came to this step, I had something that I had always held on to because I was justified. I had rationalized. I had, you know, I was entitled. And I, you know, in my mind, I was doing the right thing. And, you know, but there was always that lurking notion of, no, this is something you have to tell somebody about and let somebody else decide. And, you know, finally, I was honest enough to say what I had been doing. And, you know, if I were to go and make that amends, then I would incriminate somebody else. And so I can't save my own ass to, you know, and hurt somebody else. But I, you know, I'm like, I worked with people to figure out what can I do to make this amends. And it was a large financial amends. And, you know, we set it up where I would make a donation to the agency that this place that I was ripping off supported. And, you know, today I still do that donation because I, you know, sometimes these amends are not quick. Because if I would have done it all, then obviously that would have impacted my family. And you know, it wasn't suggested that I did that at that time. And so, you know, I mean, sometimes these amends can be for a lifetime that, you know, I don't know how long I'll have to donate the sum of money every month that I do. But I know that it feels good every time that comes out of my bank account because, you know, I also corrected my actions. You know, I no longer justified that those actions were okay. And I stopped doing what I was doing. And, you know, I had so much fear around that. Like, you know, I was losing a lot of money per month and I didn't know how I was going to make it. And God just took care of it. I don't even notice it. I don't. And we're talking $1,000 a month. Like, it was a big deal. And, you know, I've never sat and wondered, oh, like I need that money. You know, God just, you know, if we're willing and we're honest and we're ready, then God will just take care of the rest. I had to trust. I had to do the trust fall into his hands and, you know, just trust that our needs would be taken care of. And they have been. And, you know, things come up and it's just okay today. And, you know, I don't have to live in that. Oh my gosh, am I going to get caught? Am I going to, you know, I don't have to live there anymore. And with that, I'm so grateful. And, you know, those are the reasons why I would eat because of the fears. And today I don't need to eat over those things. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks. So, all right. I think that we're going to close down the meeting now. So we'll now close the meeting reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Judy MC please read A Vision for You? Good morning, Judy.
Hi, this is Judy MC in Florida. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.